the voice you trust for the family you love.
Shirley can tap dance. I was so blown away, I said, will you marry me? The younger generation does not know the things I said in there. Watch them in restaurants and see how they handle their kids. They don't have a clue.
I would not be doing this if I did not feel the hand of God in my back.
This is Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
Well, Luann and Ryan, this day, May 3rd, is an historic day for us as we launch a brand new radio program called Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. And if you haven't guessed, that's me. And today, indeed, right now, is the very first broadcast for the Family Talk ministry. There are very few moments in a lifetime that parallel what we're experiencing today. I've done it a couple of times in my life, but today is special, and we are walking on air today.
Oh, Doctor, we have anticipated this for a couple of months, in fact, 61 days, not that I've been counting, and we know from the mail we're receiving, the internet traffic, the Facebook, the emails, that so many folks out there share in this excitement right now, and I can't help but wonder what you are thinking and feeling right now as the pieces of this come together.
Well, I think as you all can guess, I'm awash in memories and nostalgia today. This takes me back to March 26, 1977, when I had just resigned from my position at USC School of Medicine, and I opened a little two-room office in Arcadia, California, and called it Focus on the Family. I had no clue. I had no idea where the Lord was taking me at that time, and if I had known, it would have scared me half to death. You know, people have often asked me if I planned everything that occurred with Focus on the Family over the next 33 years, and the answer is no. Mm-hmm. I didn't know where the Lord was taking it. And honestly, I didn't ask because I just felt that the Lord wanted me to start a radio program, and it just exploded. And that work has been a labor of love for me and for Shirley because she shared in everything that I've tried to do. And we've enjoyed every minute of it. Nevertheless, I began to feel about a year ago or a little longer than that, that the time was coming for me to lay that burden down and to pass it on to the next generation that would take it into the future for whatever God has in mind for it, and that He had something else for me. And that's been a kind of an unfolding story where I just became increasingly aware that what He has in mind is a new ministry called Family Talk, and that's where we are. Now, I think I ought to pause here to introduce the other players here because I'm not doing this alone, and I'm just delighted to have two colleagues who are going to be joining me every day on the program, and our listeners are very quickly going to become acquainted with the two of you and your heart and your passion for the Lord and the things that I have tried to share for more than three decades. First, let me introduce my beloved son, Ryan, in whom I'm well pleased. Ryan has his own radio program. It's an internet radio program called CoreCast with a K. That's also heard around the world and has a large number of listeners through the internet. I suppose you get email from all around the world, many countries.
Yeah. We've got all 50 states, 112 countries, doing about 250,000 listeners a month.
And you get a lot of emails from them.
Yeah, lots of email. We do online chat at the same time, so I get more online chat, which is always interesting because I get people around the world at different time zones. You know, 11 o'clock at night, I've got Sven from Sweden listening in, and I've got Chu from China, and I'm not making that up. It sounds silly, like I'm making these things up, but these are people who text me and email me and ask me questions, and we talk, and I'm always, always surprised and totally blown away.
Well, you mentioned Sven.
Yeah.
Is that the way you pronounce
Sven.
His name? Sven from Sweden. And you ask him how he heard about what you're doing. And he said,
"Oh, I'm always surprised, you know, where people are coming from, because we don't have a marketing budget. It's all word of mouth. It's all online. It's Facebook, things like that." And I said, "Sven, how'd you hear about this?" And he goes, "Oh, my friend in Paris told me about it." I'm like, "Wow, that doesn't help me at all, but I've got somebody in Paris listening too."
And you're going to continue doing that.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you deal with a different demographic. What are they, 35 and below? What would you say your demographic,
you know, it feels, is like 20 to 50. It's a really wide demographic. Yeah. But what we're doing is what you talked about. It takes you back to 1977. We're kind of going back to the basics. We're going back to the roots, where we want these young families who need help in parenting, who need help in relationships. They need that. And I want to bring them over here because I know I can trust you. I can trust the material. It's time tested.
That's
it still works. It works for me. It works for other people. Mm-hmm. And I want to share that with them.
Is that why you joined us? Is that why you agreed to do this?
It is. You know what? I wanted to do it because I wanted to help. I saw where you were going and just said anything I can do to help would be good, because I want to be a part of something great. And the things you do are of excellence. And I think anybody knows at the end of the day, you want to look back on your work and think, man, I did something good today. Mm-hmm. And I feel that way every time I leave.
Well, it is sure going to be fun working with you and with Lou Ann. Lou Ann Crane was a producer for Focus on the Family for 25 years.
25 years.
You never expected to stay there that long,
no,
did you?
No, I sure didn't. I'd been there longer than I'd been married, and that just seemed unusual.
And you were on the other side of the glass for me. You were in the control room.
I was
doing what I do, and I heard that you might be interested in joining us, and called you, and you took a weekend to think and pray about it, talked to your husband Steve about it, and then decided to join us.
But it wasn't a terribly difficult decision, Doctor. I mean, like Ryan, if there was anything I could do to help you continue, that was my heart, and it kind of cracks me up listening to Ryan here with Sven from Sweden. I don't really have that, but in my mind is like Stephanie in sixth grade. You know, I mean, right now I have a sixth grader, I have a 10th grader, I have one in college, and I have one that's married. And my world is a little more domestic than his, but my heart is those children in that next generation that has changed so rapidly. In the 25 years I've been at Focus, I've seen that change. And I'm passionate about continuing the message that you've preached so well.
Now, one of the unique factors that we're representing here is that we cover the entire demographic. I mean, Ryan, you have a child 3 years of age, first and only grandchild.
He just got accepted to school for the fall,
and
I got choked up when I found out. I was like, no, you can't go away. You have to stay home. I don't want you going anywhere during the day.
Well, I remember the day Danae went off to kindergarten, and I walked back to the house, and I had a huge lump in my throat and a tear in my eye. I can tell you, we prayed together that day and backed up and watched her as the bus drove away. And I'm telling you, I was sentimental about everything that happened in your life, Ryan, and in Danae's life as well.
And Doctor, you've asked us, Ryan and I, why we were part of this broadcast, but I'd really like to hear what you think the Lord was doing calling you to start this new broadcast.
You know, in 1977, the Lord gave me a very clear mission and a very clear message. I knew what I wanted to say. I knew who I wanted to say it to. You know, honestly, I foresaw what we're seeing today. I don't mean to sound like Father Time here, but I recognized that we were going to be in a period when families would get very little support from the culture, and felt like I ought to do something to help if I could. The message and the mission are still there. So what am I going to do? Am I going to set it down? Am I going to refuse to carry that burden that I've carried for all these years? Am I going to retire and just read the paper and sit around? And I just, you know, that's not a biblical concept. Retirement is not in the scripture, to my knowledge. And the Lord has just been saying to me, that would be nice, and maybe someday you'll have time to do that, but this is not what I want of you now. The family is still going through the same struggles. In fact, it's much worse now than it was then. And the culture is sinking into moral chaos. And so I want to defend righteousness in the culture. Most importantly, I want to bring people to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so that's what God has asked me to do, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And I'm so glad that there are some folks out there who want to be part of what we're doing.
Well, Ryan, I think I can hear thousands of people cheering on the other
side right now. You know, when it was first announced you were leaving Focus, I just got inundated with, no. What are we going to listen to? We listen to him every day. Where is your dad going? And I said, no, listen, we're just going somewhere else. We're going to come back on. But, I mean, I get constant updates online and messages from people saying, where is he going to be? When is he going to be on? And I think this day will be a big sigh of relief for a lot of people going, oh, he's back. Yeah. He's back.
Well, it'll be a great disappointment to some in the media, I'm sure. You know, the way I see it, it's like getting off one bus and getting on another. Mm-hmm. Focus on the Family is still doing great work, mm-hmm. and they will continue to do so. It's a new team with some new ideas and a new direction, but God also has a purpose for what we're doing here at Family Talk, and we're going to get after it.
Absolutely. I mean, like Ryan was saying, as we've heard from folks anxious for you to get back on the air, can you imagine what it would have been like all these past years if you had not been out there encouraging people to get involved in public policy issues or encouraging them to love their spouses, helping them raise their kids, all of those types of things?
Hmm. Well, I appreciate that comment, Lou Ann, and what you said too, Ryan, but you know, you're giving too much credit to me. I know what would have happened at Focus on the Family if the outcome had been left entirely to me, you know, if the Lord hadn't chosen to bless it. So I do get a little nervous when people look to me as being responsible for the effectiveness of Focus on the Family, because I know better. But, you know, that takes me back to a devotional that I shared with you all and other members of our staff just several weeks ago. And it dealt with that very issue. And I talked about how the Lord had been with us so obviously in those early days of the ministry. We started on 34 stations with almost no money. And within 4 or 5 years, we were heard on more than 300 stations, and we just kept growing. And there's just no way that we could have made that happen on our own. So as we start Family Talk and have been thinking and praying about this, Shirley and I have been asking the Lord to assure us that he is with us in this new venture, that he is here, that this is something that he wants us to do. And I'll tell you personally that we have expressed to the Lord that we don't want to do this if it's not something he will bless. Mm-hmm. You know, if he is not going to go with us, we don't want to make this journey because it's frankly too very difficult. And yet since then, there have been green flags mm-hmm. everywhere. And it's been so obvious. It's just been a dramatic confirmation that what was going on in 1977 is happening again. And that's where my confidence and that's where my encouragement and the moxie to do this comes from, because we're again starting from ground zero. And if I can say it again, I don't want to get ahead of the Lord, but I don't want to get behind him either.
And that was a meaningful devotional for all of us, Doctor. I know as I looked around the table, most of us were taking notes. I think we considered it a form of a covenant that we were starting to hear about. Share a little bit more of what you talked about that morning.
Well, Luann, I was trying to make the point that if the Lord is going to bless what we do here, that implies a responsibility for us. And I listed 8 areas where we need to be mindful of what he would have us do. And I don't have time to go into the entire devotional, but just very quickly, the first was to be diligent in handling the details mm-hmm. of what he's entrusted to us. There is no room for slovenliness or sloppiness in what we do here. We have to do the job with excellence. And I've always tried to do that. Sometimes I've been successful and sometimes not. But that's been my goal, and I believe we need to do it again. The second is to be frugal in handling the resources that his people give to us. I mean, the money that's contributed is what I call blood money. You know, people who send us contributions are sacrificing to do that. No one has more money than they think they need. And to share it with us says they are trusting us to spend it wisely and to spend it very carefully. And I think we have an obligation to do that. If you're wasting paper and you're wasting pens, you're wasting somebody's money.
You know, I can remember the time where the televangelists were getting exposed, and they were doing flyovers of homes with cars out front and boats in the back and air-conditioned doghouses. And I was in your study. I was pretty young at the time. And I was just kind of sitting in your couch, and the TV was on that, and you were kind of looking at it while working. And you turned to me, and you said, "Ryan, I promise you, you will never see me on something like this. It is a sin to waste God's people's money."
Oh, I never forgot
that.
I can't believe you recall that.
I'll never forget it, because I remember thinking, man, they people have a lot of stuff. And you turned around and you said, "Never will I be on something like this." And I've never forgotten it. And you've lived your life that way. Mm-hmm. You know, you've made decisions. And every now and then I think, man, really? You're really going to let it affect you that much? But it does.
Well, and I'm not a perfect man, but accountability means a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
Accountability to God. That's what I'm talking about here. We're running out of time.
Oh, man, we are. We've got to keep moving.
Okay. Number three is to always be faithful to scriptural principles. That's the foundation. That's the ground floor for everything we teach and everything that we believe. And one of the ways to honor biblical truth is to begin each day with a devotional time where we read a passage of Scripture and then pray for one another. And sometimes we pray for the folks who have written to us or emailed us to tell us about a difficult problem that they're facing, and they ask for our prayer. And when they do, we're faithful to respond, to take that concern to the Lord. I hope we never forget that this is the essence of who we are and what we believe and what we teach. And number four is to be courageous in defending unpopular truth. You know, we know it. We're going to be criticized. I have been for many years, and it's going to continue. People who stand up for righteousness in the culture are going to be criticized and hated, ridiculed. Many of you, speaking to members of our staff here, are going to be subjected to disparagement because you're associated with me and with Family Talk. You just began to discuss the issue of the definition of marriage, for example. You will be subjected to some pretty vicious stuff. It's going to happen. And yet Jesus said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world." That's the attitude with which we have to approach what we do. We are not attempting to irritate people, but there is a standard of righteousness that we're trying to uphold. Number five, we have to be caring and loving for people that bring their needs to us. You know, if we don't return phone calls, then somebody will say, "You're a hypocrite. You say you care for people, but you don't respond." But I do need to explain that here in the beginning, that is going to be very difficult to live up to because we don't have the staff or the telephones to handle it. We're a small organization just getting started. But eventually, we will try to put an arm around people, whether it's expressed in what we call white mail or whether it comes in the internet or whether it comes directly in phone calls. We don't want to ignore the people who are out there who reach out to us.
You know, Doctor, this is one of my favorite points of the whole thing. When I started with you at Focus 26 or so years ago, I started in the correspondence department, which answered the mail. Yeah. And I would come in every day and I would read these stories, and some of them you would sit there and weep. These are real people. They're not just names on the envelope.
That's right.
It's kind of interesting because just yesterday you were going through some of that mail and I couldn't help but hearken back. You have the same heart that I saw 26 years ago. There's one piece of paper coming across and you see the person on the other side of that, and it still means as much to you today as it did then.
And it bothers me when I can't respond
to it.
I had a huge stack on my desk, and there's no way I can answer all that mail. And I brought in you and some volunteers who tried to call people because we're going to do the best we can. Yeah. And in the beginning, I asked people to be patient with us because we're dealing with a short staff and not a lot of money.
And a different medium. You were trying to ask me, how are we going to answer the people on Facebook? They're commenting on the things I'm writing, and they're saying all these nice things. How do we get back to these people? And, you know, we want to let them know we are hearing you. We do see it, and we appreciate it so much. It keeps us going every day.
Well, it keeps me awake at night. So I ask people to just understand that we can get up and running, and if people can help us get the staff necessary to do the job right, I hope they will. Mm-hmm. Number six is to be holy in our personal lives and worthy of representing Him. Mm-hmm. I gave the staff an illustration from my early years. It was 1976, and I went to the Christian Booksellers Convention in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And I was walking through the aisles. There were booths one after another, and my picture was there. One of them was about 6 feet tall. There were displays of this, that, and the other, and not only my books but tapes. And as I was walking along, I felt like the Lord spoke to me. Now, I'm very cautious in saying the Lord spoke because it certainly was not an audible voice, but I knew He had spoken to me. 1976, which was a critical year, and the Lord said, look around. You see the things that are around you? You see the places where your work is being represented? I want you to know that I am making my people vulnerable to you for my own purposes. It's not yours. It's for my purposes to meet the needs of my people. And if you go wrong, if you're not faithful, you hurt them. And I want you to keep your life clean. Mm-hmm. Before you get mad at somebody and you shout at them, before you cut somebody off in a parking lot, before you act in a way that is not representative of Christ, I want you to think, and I want you not to mess it up because I'm about to do something in your life. It was 1 year later when Focus on the Family started, and the Lord was getting me ready for that. So I was trying to say to our staff that we need to be worthy of the blessing that seems to be coming upon this ministry. I've got to hurry. Number seven is to be thoughtful of one another. You know, the scripture says, behold how they loved one another. Let's don't fuss with each other. Let's don't be in conflict with each other. Let's try not to irritate each other. We're all under stress. I got to tell you, getting this ministry started is one of the toughest things I've done. And it's a whole lot more difficult than it was in 1977 because the laws have changed and because the internet and, you know, it's just more complex. And in the midst of that stress, we can't forget who we are and who we are to one another. And number eight, remember why we are here. It is not to build an empire. It's not to aggrandize ourselves. It's not to get the acclaim that comes with doing something well. None of those things matter. But our job is to be salt and light in a dark world. Every broadcast, every word we speak is relevant to somebody out there, even if we don't know all the people who are listening to us. But we've seen it happen over and over where the Lord divides the word and applies it to individual needs. I closed that devotional time with the scripture, and Ryan, I believe you've got it in front of you.
I do.
It's 2 Thessalonians 3:1-5.
Yep. It says, finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may be spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not everyone has faith, but the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts unto God's love and Christ's perseverance. You also closed with one more.
Okay.
Can I give the other one?
Sure.
It's Psalm 69:6.
Yes.
And you gave this in a devotion, in a tent, in northern Colorado on a hunting trip. And I heard it then, and I've never forgotten it. It's Psalm 69:6. And it says, "May those who hope in you not be disgraced because of me, O Lord, the Lord Almighty. May those who seek you not be put to shame because of me, O God of Israel."
Hmm.
Don't let what I do mess it up for the rest of the believers.
Yeah. Oh, my. Well, that's the essence of what we're going to try to do on this broadcast. And relevant to that scripture, Ryan and Luann, is to ask our listeners out there to pray for us. Mm-hmm. We're ordinary people.
Yeah.
We're not superstars. Mm-hmm. We're not perfect. We're not on a pedestal out there telling everybody else how to do it right when we make a mess out of our own lives. We are simply trying to serve the Lord. That's what He's called us to do. That's what we're going to do on this program. And I am thrilled by the opportunity to work with the two of you, Ryan Dobson, Luann Crane, and our team here at Family Talk. And let's see where the Lord's going to take us.
And I know I speak for the 10 or 12 other people here. We are all committed to that, Doctor, down to every single person who's answering a phone, looking at a piece of mail on the website. We are pulling with you.
That's why we invited you to join us, because I know that, and that's the essence of your own passion and heart.
And that's echoed by so many folks listening right now, Doctor, who are right there with us. And Ryan, I sure hope they follow us on the website.
That's right. Our website is myfamilytalk.com. It's easy to find, and that's why I'm here. It's because we believe in you, and we want to further that ministry. And if you want to join us, again, come to the website. It's myfamilytalk.com.
I can hardly wait for tomorrow.
All right, let's do